Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and everybody that watches. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to speak on the things in God's Word, and if any time you have a question or a comment, or maybe a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to study on the program, feel free to contact us. You can do so at the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. We've been looking at the study of what the New Testament reveals concerning the church. And we are looking at how that the church is autonomous. And what we mean by that word autonomy is the church is self-governed. And we see how that there is no intercongregational alliances that were found among the New Testament church, but that each church did its own work under the direction of its own elders. We saw how that the Jerusalem church took care of its own needy. We saw how that several churches supported Paul when he preached at Corinth, and each church sent directly to Paul by its own messengers. We see also how that the churches of Macedonia, Achaia, and Galatia sent to the relief of the poor saints at Jerusalem when the need was so great that the Jerusalem church could not meet it. We read about this in Romans chapter 15. In fact, let's turn there and we'll begin reading at verse 25. It says, Paul said, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." And then drop down to verse 31. "That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." So see, this benevolence was then sent to Jerusalem. And it was sent by the messengers, that is, individuals who were selected or chosen by each church. We read about that in what Paul stated as he closed out the first letter to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, notice that we read verse, beginning with verse 3. He said, "And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me." So then, there was no pooling of funds in this case. There was no combining of funds under some centralized control. None of that we read about at all in the New Testament. The funds were administered where they were sent by the elders of the church. And that we see in Acts chapter 11, there at about verse 30. Notice we read. He said, "And then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea." Verse 30. "Which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." What we must also understand in realizing that the local church is self-governing is that no church became the agent of another church at all that we can read about in the New Testament. All churches bore an equal relationship to whatever work that they cooperated in doing. There was no sponsoring churches. There was no contributing churches. No congregation received and forwarded funds for another. Such was not a New Testament practice and cannot be found in the New Testament scriptures. And it doesn't need to be a practice today either. However, as harmless as it may seem, such a practice creates an inequality that's wrong and which inevitably leads, when it's practiced, to the destruction of autonomy, to the destruction of this self-governing quality that Christ has given to the local church. Agency cannot exist without subordination. In other words, whenever one church becomes the agent of another church, one is subordinating to the other. Either the church contributing tells the church receiving what to do, or the receiving church is authorized to act for the contributing church. See, equality cannot exist either way. That such is voluntarily, that does not mean that autonomy can't be surrendered voluntarily just the same way as any other liberty or right that we have. And another thing, there were no congregations that promoted themselves into some sort of a brotherhood agency for doing any of the work that many churches, and then brought pressure to bear through propaganda or whatever by their agents in order to raise the money that the work required. You know, it's sometimes argued that in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 7 and 8, and over in Philippians 2 and verse 25, and in chapter 4, verses 4 through 18, that all of the churches that were contributing to Paul's support sent to Philippi, which, as they would have us to understand it, Philippi was a sponsoring church that then sent the money of all of these other churches on to the Apostle Paul. In fact, this statement is based on what we read in Philippians 4 and verse 15. And that's when Paul said, "No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." See, that word, communicated, translated in the King James Version in Philippians 4 verse 15, and we find it again in Galatians 6 and verse 6. That same word, that same form of the word, occurs in Romans 12 and verse 13 and a number of other passages. And in those passages, it's translated distributing and also with the word partaking. So the fellowship or the communication is more often translated fellowship, and it is rendered that way in the American Standard. So the expression as concerning giving and receiving is paraphrased by McKnight, and I quote him when he says, "No church communicated with me in the matter of giving and of my receiving money from them, but you only." So here's the point. If Philippi received from other churches and forwarded those funds to Paul, in other words, they just simply kept books for Paul, you might say, and became what is referred to as a sponsoring church, as some people want to contend, then the contributing churches had no fellowship with Paul in supplying his needs. For such was true only of Philippi. Because that's what Paul said. No church communicated with me but you. So, certainly, the conclusion of all of this is that when you get to have high-pressure promotion programs sponsored by one church, financed by money that's solicited from another church, a number of churches, sponsoring arrangements for cooperation among churches, and one church becoming an acting agency through which many churches do their work, it's all going to eventually lead to the complete surrender of autonomy, self-government, independence, equality, and therefore to the destruction of congregational government that we read about in the New Testament. So it is, then, that we need to understand fully what the Bible teaches concerning a very important aspect of the church, and that is that it is autonomous. It is self-governing and does not need to enter into any relationship to which it gives that up. But also, in studying about the church, we need to look at the extent and the limitations that the elders have. This lesson, I hope, will help us in understanding what divine principles in connection with the government of the church that the Lord has given. In divine affairs, all authority we know comes from God. We know that's true today. All authority, Jesus says, has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28 and verse 19. We know from a passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, there beginning with verse 22, that Jesus is the head over all things to the church. Let's look what we read in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. That God has given unto Christ and put Christ far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Christ is the head over all things to the church, which is his body. No one, and again I emphasize that, no one is authorized to do anything in the church except by Christ, because Christ is the head. And we can understand the comparison that's being made here. The church of our Lord is compared to a body. Well, we're familiar with the body. I have a body. As you are listening in the audience, you have a body. And we can understand the concept that everything that we do in this body comes from the direction of the head. It's the head that contains the brain, that controls every function. It controls the words that comes out of my mouth. It controls the movement of every member of my body. And so it is in the church, the body of Christ. Christ is the head. Everything that we do in the church must be done in accordance with the direction of the head. That's not difficult to understand. But what we see in this organization of the church is the fact that they went everywhere ordaining elders in all of the churches. That we've read several times in Acts chapter 14 and in verse 23. So let us now, in our lesson tomorrow, let us look at the extent and the limitations of the authority of elders. Because now we see that our time is gone. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you will tune in again tomorrow. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.